Hey, so we have a special treat. Pastor Mark and Carmen Yaden are with us today from Edmonds, Washington. Pastor and Mark and Carmen, they've started a church there many, many, many years ago called A New Day Church. They set up and tear down at a school every week. Bring back any memories? And we have lived together in this journey. And I've known Mark and Carmen now for a lot of years, and actually through Richard and Ella Westra. And Richard and Ella, great to have you back. Thank God you're home. Amen. We love you. And they just got back from Arizona. So I hope you feel guilty about bring some sun with you, because when you left, all the snow came, right? So Mark and Carmen and Lynn and I really forged our friendship actually in Mexico. And I've spent more time with Mark in Mexico than I have, seriously, it's every year. We spend a week together. I've preached in their church many times and stayed in their home. And my first stay in their home was before we went down to do a mission trip. Lynn and I stayed in their home, and we stayed in what they called the snake room. You're going, weird, right? Well, their son Josh had a python, and they had him in this big glass tank, and fortunately they threw a sheet over the tank so we could stay in the room and not get freaked out. But I was okay till Mark called it the snake room. Oh, you're going to sleep. The python was good. Anyway, so I think since that time that we met, all your children, two of your three children have gotten married. You've had a lot of grandkids. So we've had a great road together. Mark's a genuine pastor. He loves people. He loves lost people. They do outreach to homeless people in Edmonds, in that area. He's taken me and toured me through the outreach program they have. It's very amazing. But there, in that one small area, there are a lot of homeless people that come up out of Seattle because the resources are easier to find there. And they have a church cooperative that gathers every weekend and ministers to homeless people, health care, clothing, jobs, GED. Training and showers, washing clothes, amazing. And their church is part of that. Mark comes from a long line of pastors. And one of his unique giftings, I believe, is connecting people to Jesus and connecting people to the work of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen it in Mexico when we'll go there. And we work with some indigenous groups up in the mountains. They are such beautiful, brave people, and we love them. And they speak a dialect where we go. There's two main dialects in that region, Mixteco and Zapotec, and they are as different from Spanish as Chinese is from English. They are an Indian dialect. But you know what? The Holy Spirit crosses across cultural lines, and we become brothers and sisters with those people we're ministering to. And Mark is a big part of that. And so, Mark and Carmen, it is just so great to have you here. Mark spoke at our men's retreat last summer, and he's going to be speaking again this year. And actually, he's bringing some guys with him. They've already been promoting it, so we better get on the stick, right? Anyway, and then he shared with us earlier this year. Would you please welcome Mark and Carmen Yaden with me?
Good morning. The three people that stood, I'll give you your $20 after the service. Yeah. Will you take a check? Yeah, good. Our checks are no good. Hey, Tuesday, what day, what's Tuesday? What's going on Tuesday? Guys, this is just a help. I'm your wingman. It's Valentine's Day. Okay. Be prepared. Don't let Tuesday sneak up on you. Okay? That's free. All the guys said yes. I'm on that. I'm interceding right now. Okay. Not an iron. I'm not going to get an iron this year. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you got to be wise on that. This morning I'm not talking about Valentine's or irons or what to give your spouse. Pastor Jess already mentioned this, And again, thanks for the invitation, Jess and Lynn. Don't make me cry. If you are new here and you're looking to be involved in just a relationship and a journey of finding Jesus, following Jesus for the rest of your life, you've come to the right spot. And you might feel that, well, everybody seems to know each other. Or maybe you're even new to Quincy and this church has been established, and so I'm on the outside looking in. No, you're not. One day I was on the outside looking in, and through Richard and Ella and Jess, they just treated me like I was on the inside. And you've heard the result of that relationship from 1997. And so there is a place for you, a relational place. And the Bible says, don't walk alone. Don't walk alone. It's so easy to get picked off. And you might have to initiate. You might have to initiate for, a number of times, but do so. It's good. Tell the Lord what you want. Tell the Lord what you need, and then go find it. Go follow it and grab hold of it in terms of another man, another woman, another family, and walk together with them. Amen? How many believe in a living God this morning? That's already been said. Yeah. A living Father who you can have a real relationship with, right? Yeah? A Jesus who really saves. Come on, redeems. We believe that. The Holy Spirit who is with us and in us. He's alive. How many believe that? I believe you. But I don't. Here's why. We've lived on the west side of the state. That's across the mountains, you know. It's a coast. The coasties. The wet side. My dad had relatives that lived across the water, Puget Sound. They lived in Bremerton. And we had pictures of them. And if you asked us, yeah, we know them. They're part of our family. But the reality is we didn't know them. We saw them maybe once every 10 years. I don't know why. I mean, it's just a ferry ride. But we knew them through this abstract idea. Let me suggest that the Holy Spirit, we know him, but he still can remain an abstract idea. Like a picture on a wall. There they are. Or the distant relative who might live in the basement who comes up for air. And when he does come up, you're not too sure about him. And sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit is to us, and we are, or that's how we are to the Holy Spirit. We believe him, just not too sure what he's going to do. I'd like to break that barrier this morning. And let's just find the Holy Spirit, get to know him. Are you with me? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. Jesus, you are at work in us through the Holy Spirit. The saving, transforming work. What you began in us is finished with the Holy Spirit. And so help us to take the Holy Spirit off the picture on the wall and allow him to work and move and live inside of us. And the joy that it will bring our hearts and the glory that it will bring yours. And we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message is, as you can see, The Secret to Following the Holy Spirit. When Jess saw the title, he laughed. He said, oh, thank you for telling us the secret. And you kind of got it, because there are true secrets and there are secrets that really aren't secrets. And let me just tell you, this is going to freak you out, but the secret to following the Holy Spirit isn't really a secret. But there are real secrets, like KFC's 11 herbs and spices. That's a real secret. Since 1940, that secret has been locked down. And there's 11 herbs and spices that they actually manufacture in other parts of the nation and bring them only to KFC, and that's where they're assembled. It's a top secret. Now, there are other secrets, kind of like following the Holy Spirit, that really aren't secrets. They're obvious, but you know them, but you just don't always think about them. Like the Secret Service. Not really a secret. Right. Oh, what are those men dressed in black suits and talking like this?
Right.
Not a secret. It's obvious. Evidently, Victoria has a secret. But once you start thinking about Victoria's Secret, it's not a secret. There's nothing secret about it. You can see everything. Guys, should we pray right now? Did I lose you or did I find you? Oh, yes, yes. Glad I came to church today. All right. So the secret to following the Holy Spirit, let me just use one simple scripture and then we'll jump off from there. So the scripture is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. This is out of the New Century Version. It's okay, it's a good one, even though you've never heard about it. It's based on kind of a newer Living Bible, and so it says it like this. Those who live following the Spirit are thinking about the things the Spirit wants them to do. It is true. And this may not happen all at once because the Father we know, we can relate in some way. The Son, we get. The Holy Spirit, the weird uncle in the basement. Not too sure. What does he do? Every time we try to reach for him, and so what does that mean? And we want to, even though we have difficulty finding and following and understanding and relating to the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I'm going to give you the secret, which is not a secret. And you already know it. How many have heard of the 5 W's and the 1 H? Teachers know this. 5 W's and 1 H? No? There it is. One more time.
Who, what, where, when, why?
Yeah. Yes. And why do we use that simple 5 W's and 1 H? It's because it helps us to ascertain, to understand, and to comprehend something that we don't know. And so we're going to use who, what, where, why, when, and how as it relates to the Holy Spirit so that we might learn to follow the Spirit and think about what the things that the Spirit wants us to do. Let me ask you this question. Of the big three, what's the big three? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who do you relate to? Yeah, I know you relate to all of them. But think about it. The Father. Gives you warm fuzzies, doesn't it? Have a good, good Father. And where is the Father? Well, let's talk about Jesus. Jesus died for us. How many know stories and stories and stories about Jesus? Tell me a story about the Holy Spirit. Who do you relate to? Where is Jesus? The Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father, which helps us with locating the Father. He's at the left hand of Jesus. No one ever says it that way. Oddly, I would. Where's the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit?
With us.
With us. And?
In us.
In us. It's our birthright, our born-again birthright. It's what Jesus said was going to happen. I am going to save and redeem you. I'm going to hand you off to the third agent of the Trinity, who's going to take you raw, unfiltered, where you're at, and bring you and complete you and transform you into who I am. And it's the Holy Spirit. And where is he? He is not at the left hand of the Father. And he's not at the right hand of the Father. He's with you and he's in you. Who do you relate to? Who do you communicate with? Who's going to tell you what to do? Who's going to empower you? Who is going to walk with you through the good, the bad, and the ugly, or January, as you call it? Jess calls me in January. He says, "Oh man, we've had 3 weeks of gloom." And I go, "Jess, we have months of gloom. Go whine to somebody else." No, I didn't say that. But he kind of recognized who he was talking to. Call me when you got a month and a half, and then we'll talk. Who? And so the Holy Spirit, what I'd like you to do, and here's where we're going this morning, you can dial it in, and you got notes if you want to look at those or just refer to them later, but who by asking the Holy Spirit, who, what, where, why, when, and how. And when you ask a question, you expect an answer, don't you? How many have ever asked a question and then just walked away? Well, what you're telling the other person is you're not really real, and I didn't really mean it. But what if you began to ask in everyday life? And so this morning's message is about everyday life, asking simple questions directly relating to the Holy Spirit and finding Him and what He wants. This is really, really simple, but it's so, so cool. And I've lived my life practicing this when I discovered this. So let's just take a look. The first, we've already talked about who, and I want you to relate to the Holy Spirit. But the second W is what. Here's the scripture. And all of these scriptures, incidentally, are found in John's gospel. And if you want to know how to relate as a child of God, a son or daughter of God, to your Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, you look through John, and John brings out in Jesus what it's like to have that everyday flow of relationship. And so one day, Jesus was talking to a bunch of guys, and he said, "I want you to be aware of this." John chapter 8, verse 28. "I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." Jesus didn't ad lib, and neither should you. Can you imagine Jesus walking around and saying, "What about her?" Oh, he did that, didn't he? Oh, you've had five husbands. Not you, but just making sure. What are you doing in his life? Oh, he just lost his daughter. Here's what's happened. What if Jesus just walked around going, "What about this? What about this? What are we doing today?" And what can you do? The same thing. The same thing. God has a what to establish what He wants you to do and what He wants you to say. Let me just give you a couple of stories. Actually, my wife is going to give some stories on what this looks like. Are we on mute? There we go.
Thank you. So I'm pretty passionate about the Holy Spirit and how He can work through us, helping us and helping others. And I listen to his voice when he talks to me. So this happens a lot, but recently I woke up one morning and was starting my day, and I had a deep sadness come over me. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, and I literally was going to say, what? I did. I kept saying, what? He goes, I want you to just pray and listen to me. So I said, okay, but this is really overwhelming. I'm just so sad. I was like teary, and this is not a normal thing. So I kept praying and just trusting in him, and he said very clearly, someone close to you is going to have a tragedy. And I said, okay, I still trust you. And I kept praying. So I didn't confide in anyone this. I just kept praying and interceding and trusting in his voice. And my sister called, and this happens probably 5 times a day, you know, on her lunch break, and, you know, she'll call and just check in. So the Holy Spirit said, go ahead and share. So I shared it with her, and she's like, oh, okay. And she's practicing listening to the Holy Spirit. So a couple hours went by, and it lifted, just lifted off me, and I felt my regular joy and peace. And she called. She goes, you'll never guess. She said, I was sitting there in the living room, and the Holy Spirit said, go up to your daughter's room. And she's like, okay. Check behind her bed at the heater. And she's like, oh, okay. So first she listened, and then she said, I'll do it. These two important things. So she ran up there, and they had put a portable heater behind her daughter's bed, and you couldn't see it as you walked in the room. You'd have to pull the bed out. And we had had that real cold, you know, snap around our area. And she pulled it back, and the wall was black. There were sparks coming from this heater, and it was right next to the bedspread. It was probably moments before this would take hold. And she called me, and she said, oh my goodness, you know, I took this back to Costco, and they said, you almost owned the company. Because they said this would have taken your entire house down. And who knows when, you know, it just, but that feeling that the Holy Spirit had given me, I shared, and then he was able to speak with her also. So another time, this is all just recent, but this happens all the time, okay? If you got your ears and your heart in tune with the Holy Spirit, he can guide you through, he can save you, he can help you help others, which I love. It'd just be a tool for him. So another time, a friend of mine, she called and she said, guess what happened? This was this week too. The Holy Spirit said, wear flat shoes to work. And she's like, isn't that weird? And I said, no. What happened? Tell me. She goes, well, I never wear flat shoes to work. But I did. I obeyed. And she works in a high school, and she works with kids that can't make it in the regular classroom. So some of them have been in and out of prison. They have records, and she's a tiny little 100-pound little gal, and she had to break up that day a fight that would potentially have killed someone, and she ended up having to throw a guy against the wall that was like 250 pounds, and she did it, and the Lord was with her. So I'm passionate about the Holy Spirit. Because of the things like these stories that I tell you today. Mm-hmm.
And what if you just went around, say you went into the granary, and rather than fixate on what you were going to order, you just began to look around the room. What are you doing in that person? I was at Edmonds Community College, and just serving free coffee and some goodies with a group, doing an outreach. And we had a sign up, we'll pray for you. You know, and so along came this man, and he He's kind of is short. He had yellow teeth. He had a dirty T-shirt, and he had dreadlocks. And I just simply asked the Holy Spirit, "What are you doing in him?" And he told me. And so I went up to him. I started talking with him, and I found out he was a prodigal. Not even a prodigal. He was just returning to, or he was coming to the Lord after years of just running and running, and Holy Spirit just dogging him and just calling for him. And I began to speak into his life what the Holy Spirit told me, and he just threw up his hands. He says, "This is a miracle. How do you know these things?" It was just a simple question. It wasn't, now hear me correctly, It's just the practice of asking, "What are you doing in every situation that you can think of?" Well, doesn't that require years and years? It requires practice, because we're not connected to the family that lives over in Bremerton, so we don't relate to them. We're not connected truly to the person of the Holy Spirit. And this will help you. What are you doing? Show me. Tell me. If you don't get anything, you don't get anything. But if you do, then, as Carmen mentioned, trust God and act upon it and follow through on it. Mm-hmm. Spoke in this man's life with the dreadlocks, and as it turned out, he was a famous music technician. I mean, famous. And he blew up his life. He'd make $500,000 a year, and he had nothing. Just blew it up. But he's coming back to Jesus. And now he came to our church, and he's fixing all of our technical stuff. Never asked him. But he's just trying to give himself to the Lord. You have people in your life. You have situations in your marriage, in your job. What do I do? It's okay for you not to know, but it's not okay for you not to know who to ask.
Right, that's true.
And who to involve. What should I do here? And the Holy Spirit is so, so very good. You know, the reason why I'm in this church today is because in 1997, I was having my dad, you always do what your dad tells you. My dad said, "You got to call Charlotte Perreault, and you guys need to do a mission down there." And I obeyed because he's my dad. I didn't feel anything. So I called Charlotte, and she was talking about this new work in Oaxaca. And I didn't know how to spell it, didn't understand it. And she's just going on and on. And in my mind, I have this particular mission purpose in mind, because the Holy Spirit, we'd waited on the Holy Spirit for like 6 months, and he just gave it, "This is exactly what I want you to do." And so I'm thinking exactly what he told us to do. And this nice woman on the phone is waxing eloquent about orphanages and buildings and laying cement and fixing things, and that is not what the Holy Spirit was telling me. So she's being all cool and glory and all of that. And I'm thinking, no. No. And she's talking a long time, because she's passionate. And I'm thinking, no. And the Holy Spirit says, "This is what I want you to do." And I went, "Yeah, but..." And now I'm having this three-way conversation. This is... You and I talk first. And you told me that this was what we're supposed to do. And he says, "Yeah, I know, but this is the way to get there." And I went, "Okay, we'll do it." Had no idea, didn't know anything. We went down there, and we meet this couple, really cool couple. You should know them. The Westers, Richard and Ella. And we began to compare notes, and I know where Quincy is. And see, it's not as amazing as you think. Just teasing. Nobody knows where Edmonds is either, so that's fine. And you know, and then we met your pastor, and then we've been friends. And do you see the effect of what one what can do? Now, what if you did it? And what if you did it? And what if you did that? What would happen to Quincy? What would happen to your families? What would happen at work? We start with what? We start with what? And we say yes. Amen?
Amen.
You know, throughout the Bible, this is what people did. Abraham, that's how God talks. Go to a land I will show you. Where is it? You don't need to know. How am I get? Just go. Start walking. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abraham tells God tells Abraham the what in his life. He says, this is going to happen. There's going to be a famine. You're going to go down to Egypt. It's going to be 430 years plus 40. And then I'm going to come and rescue everybody. And I'm going to bring you into a promise. And I'm going to bring you right back here. What? Yeah. And he went. Aren't you glad he went?
Yeah.
And you can too. A couple other questions. We'll go over these real quick. Next question is where? Here's the scripture, John chapter 6, verse 5 through 6. Jesus was, this is the feeding of the 5,000, and this is before they got fed. Jesus poses this question to Philip. He says, where should we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test Philip, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. God might have a great what, but you're not buying in until you know how it's going to all come about. Where's the provision? Recently, over the summer, God prophetically spoke to our church and says, I want you to move from the school. And our church is in a school. And I have a building for you. I said, marvelous. Where's the provision for that? And he says, I'm in charge. You don't need to know. You're supposed to get ready. Okay. God had this in mind only to test Philip. When you ask a provisional question, we just got the hospital bill. Where's the money coming from? Who do you go to? Who do you call? Do you call your sister? Do you call your brother? Do you call the church? Hey, we need some money. Do you call a fret partner? You know what a fret partner is? Somebody to fret with?
Right.
Be anxious with? You're doing on the very hopes that they'll pray for you, but probably not. Why? Because all you want is somebody to go, oh, that's too bad. I mean, I'm serious. Come on. How about the Holy Spirit who actually has the provision already in mind? How could Jesus rest with 5,000 plus a whole bunch of other people? What are we going to do? God wakes up in the morning. Where are we going to get it? That would take 8 months worth of wages. We found a kid who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that is so little with all the big problems and the big stuff we got going on. Those are all provisional issues, and we will limit the Holy Spirit if we get stuck at the where is this going to come from. Your where often follows God's what. And God already has in mind a provision. Carmen, I'll tell this about Carmen. We have a daycare in our house, and so it's a little crazy. And so often Carmen will be looking for somebody or something, not somebody. Where is Jimmy today? Sure, earlier. Hate when that happens. Sorry. Mom, we'll get you a replacement. Usually doesn't work. And so something will be lost, and she will ask the Holy Spirit, where is it? And usually, she will walk over to where it is and find it. Why? Because she's on her knees 24/7? Yeah, changing diapers. No. Why? Because she can quote every scripture in the Bible? No, she reads her Bible. It's because there's a practice of developing the where in a relationship. Where is this coming from? Where do we go? Where's the provision? One day, I was recovering from Sunday. That's what pastors do after around 3 o'clock or sometimes. Sometimes it's not till a day later. And I was just recovering, you know, watching TV with eyes just kind of half-masked. And I got a buzz on my phone, and it was an email that said somebody wanted to trade me their drift boat for my motorcycle. And we needed cash for some medical issues that we were having. And so a drift boat wasn't cash. And I didn't want a drift boat. And so I was about ready to delete the email, and this is what I heard, and it wasn't audible, but I heard it. This is my provision for you. And I really, you got to be kidding. And I explained to the Holy Spirit, which is an interesting concept. One that you've probably had before. And because he doesn't operate in my logical realm or my illogical realm, he just said, this is my provision. And so I trusted him. The guy came up and I opened the door. And here's a man standing who's my height. He's 26 years of age. And he has dreadlocks down to here. That's the second time I've used that word. Must be a theme. Or we just have a lot of people in dreadlocks running around, you know. Could be that. But I opened the door and I almost just laughed. I'm thinking, next? And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. This is my provision, remember. Long story short, he gave me the boat, I gave him the motorcycle, sold the boat for super high value, got twice as much that the motorcycle was worth. Why? Because I'm a cool kid on the block? Because I'm more spiritual than you? No. I just believe that the Holy Spirit is real, and I'm practicing that connection, just like you can. Amen? Where is this coming from? Next. How? Now, how isn't provision? How is process? Here's the scripture. The Father who sent me commanded me not only what to say, John chapter 12, verse 48, but how to say it. Think about Jesus, the word choices that he used, down to the sentence structure. Who chose that? Who designed that? The Father through the Holy Spirit. Is that cool or what? And there's always a process. Let me use two biblical illustrations. Luke chapter 1, I think it's verse 18. God's talking to Zechariah, and he says, you're having a baby. And Zechariah said, how is this possible? Not quite exactly what he said. What he said was, how can this be? And he was implying that the process would be impossible because his wife and himself were old. It's very interesting. In the same chapter, Mary uses the same how, but it's different. She says, how will this be? What's the process? One says impossible. The other says, tell me more. How will this roll out? What will this look like? In order for me to get from here to home, there's a process. A little longer one since I have a flat tower. So there's going to be a process to figure out what to do with that. process to go home. There's a process from where you are today, tomorrow, to the problem, through the problem, on the other side of the challenge, through next week. They're laying everybody off. I got a call. It's terminal. There's a process. There's a process. How, God, do you want this to happen in my life? Just real quickly, I try to fix things around the house. I'm not necessarily handy, but I'm stubborn. And I'm persevering. And so whether it's a motorcycle, and I'm not a mechanic, and you know, I'm not a builder, and I'm not an electrician and all this. And so I'll start these things and I'll get stuck. And usually, you know, before I talk to the Holy Spirit, I just plow through and make a mess of things. And then, you know, get unsaved and, you know, have to not just teasing. Okay. But what I've learned is when I get stuck, there is a how question that needs to be asked and answered. How do I do this? Oh, it was backwards. These are simple relational conversations that you can have with the Holy Spirit. How are we going to do this? How do we manage your money? We got this. We found this thing in How We Love yesterday. Okay, what's the process? You're that way, I'm this way. How are we going to make this work? Everyday life. Everyday life. How do you want me to proceed? You told me the what. I need to know the how. What do you want me to say? How do you want me to say it? How do you want me to do it? Next one is when. When? Jesus told them, my time, John chapter 7, verse 6, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. Did you read that one? Hey, you should go to Jerusalem, Jesus, because everybody's going there. All the cool prophets go to Jerusalem. I mean, if you're somebody, you better go to Jerusalem. Jesus puts up his hands. No, I don't know that he did, but I would have. And he says, hey, my time is not yet here. I'm on a time frame. You're not. Why aren't they on a time frame? Because they were self-determined. They decided, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I got this going, and tomorrow I got that, and hey, that doesn't belong here. And we have two time frames, now and yesterday, when it comes to God. Where are you, and why aren't you doing something? Let me give you a couple time frames. I told you the first, Abraham. Hey, I've given you land. Abraham goes, yay! But by the way, you're going to go down to Egypt, and then your friends and sons, and it's going to be wild. And then, you know, your son Joseph, whom you don't know because you haven't had him yet, because he's next generation. And then it's going to be 400 years, and then we're going to bring him out, and it's going to be a big group, and there's going to be, you know, some plagues. And Abraham's looking at timing, really? And then, nobody's going to listen to me in the desert. So it's going to be 40 plus years on that one. And then they're going to go in. 430 years plus 40. Oy vey. As Jewish for, oh my goodness, I have no idea. It's like, no. But what if God had a plan in your life and it was just going to take 400 years? But it's a good plan. It's God's plan. Might take a while. Are you good with that? When God said, I want you to move out of the school, he didn't say move out. He just says, I have a building for you. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, may it be like Moses and not Abraham. Abraham was 430 years plus 40. Oh, Jesus, help me. No. Not another day of set up, tear down. Or should it be like Moses? Moses in Exodus chapter 14. They're up against the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming, you know, on their backside. And Moses is going, ah! That's Hebrew for man of faith and power. And you can read this. It's in, chapter 14, verse 15. It says this. Stop your whining and get moving. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. We're moving, we're moving, we're moving. Come on, we're moving. Let's move now. The moment God tells you to move, you're, go over there and talk to that person about me. You're going, emergency brake, spin around. That must not be God. No, it's the devil trying to tell you to do something for God. Are you kidding? When we want God to go fast, and then he does, we're slowing the boat down. Come on. I'm not ready. God has a timing in our lives, doesn't he? Why don't we be on his time instead of asking God to be on our time? He knows he has it. We can live self-determined, self-directed lives and be like these people. For you, any time will do. But will we just shift it? Or what's the timing in this? When do I... It's been so amazing. I was driving down the road. And I've been doing some research on a new bed. I'm a research guy, and so... You see, don't move very quickly because I got to do the research first. New bed, not any bed, the best bed ever. That's what we're going for. Well, I determined that that might be a rubber bed. What's the other word for rubber?
Water?
No, rubber.
Foam?
No, not foam. Latex, thank you. I heard the word latex. Latex bed. And, you know, I'm doing, where am I going to get this, you know, and after, literally, I know this is weird, but, you know, about a month and a half of research, I determined that the place to get that was never and nowhere, and I just, it was just too much. I'm driving down in the city of Everett, down Everett Mall Way. I'm on my way to an appointment, and it's a discipling, and so I'm driving down, the Holy Spirit says, look, there's a mattress place. Go in there. And I said, there's a mattress place. I'm going to be late for the appointment. He said, look at your watch. I did. I wasn't going to be late for my appointment. It's really interesting. The timing. I walk in. I don't really know that I want help because I don't even know why I'm there. Other than I have some vague recollection of wanting a bed. And so I'm in there, and the guy, I was the only one in there, and the guy kind of looks at me, and he's like, you know, can I help you? And I go, no. You know, in other words, I don't know why I'm here, and I'm not clued into what the Holy Spirit is doing. Leave me alone. So I began to wander, and I said, oh, by the way, do you have a latex bed? Oh, yeah, we got three of them. There they are. So I said, well, do you have this and this? And they said, yeah, we do, yeah. And do they come with that and that? And the guy begins to kind of turn his head a little bit and look at me. And then I said, well, does it include this and this and this? And he goes, I usually don't talk to people that have done all the research. I said, yeah, I kind of did. And he mentioned something about church. And I said, tell me about your church. And he told me about his church. And Carmen's father and whole family go there. So I said, do you know this guy? And I said, do you know my father-in-law? And he said, are you kidding? He's my hero. He's my hero. Here's what we're going to do with your bed. I mean, he gave the bed. I wasn't looking for a gift. I wasn't looking for a deal. But when the Holy Spirit says now, now's a good time. When the Holy Spirit says, hold your horses, wait, it's going to be okay. How many are in a waiting period? Raise your hand. It's going to be okay. it's going to be okay. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows. He knows timing. He knows timing. I think we probably have one more. Why? Most people start with this and stop with this question. Right? Why, God? That's how it works. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" What does this have to do with why? 11th chapter of John is the story of Lazarus, isn't it? Lazarus is sick. The disciples are looking at Jesus. We should do something. Jesus says, chill out. Why? Because of timing. Let's wait 2 days. That doesn't make sense. Holy Spirit's in charge. Let's go with his plan. He knows. Why wait 2 days? And Jesus tells them in John chapter 11, verse 4. This is what he says. Can we have the worship team come up too? Or Brenda? Or thank you. Why 2 days? When he gets to the house in Bethany, what do the two sisters ask him? If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Why did you not come sooner? Right? Yeah. He's already said to his disciples, this will not end in death. This will be to the glory of God. Why? Because the processes in our lives, the who, the what, the where, the when, and the how, what is God after? Our trust, as Carmen said. Our growth, our maturity, so that we would know him. He would actually be real in our lives. We would talk with him frequently throughout the day, starting with questions that deserve good answers. His answers. Amen? Even the crowd in John chapter 11 said this, the same man who opened the eyes of the blind, he could have prevented Lazarus from dying. Why? Why is a pretty tough thing. It's a powerful thing. When we were driving over yesterday, Carmen says, what are you preaching on? And I flipped out the handout that you have, and we got down to why. And I'm driving, you know. And all of a sudden, she's not talking. And I look over and she's going, she's just weeping and shaking. And I'm like, wow, what just happened? And we were talking about why. She says, our son who's living at home, he's 30. 21 years of age, he was diagnosed with cancer, and he's had 5 cancer episodes in 9 years. People ask, is he free of cancer? Well, at the moment, we don't know if it'll come up again, like, you know, whack-a-mole or something like that. We just don't know, but he's free now. But his life is, it's been one delay after another. Hardly has a job, doesn't do well at his job, relationships have stalled, almost got to the altar once, it's the wrong person. I mean, just one why after the other. He's asking that. We don't see the glory of God is what the scripture says. If you believe, you would see the glory of God. We don't see the goodness that God is working yet. But we understand that he is working. And we just keep asking God what you want us to do and how do you want us to do that? And where's the provision coming from? And what's our next step? I do this in a college campus. I do this when I walk into a coffee shop. I do this when I get a phone call from a family member or church person, or I meet somebody for the first time. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit knows, and I don't. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, those who live following the Spirit are thinking about the things that the Spirit wants them to do. This is your birthright. This is what Jesus designed for you to live in this way. And it's our disconnect and it's our unbelief often. Come on. I might ask him a question, but then I don't wait for an answer because I can't get my hand quite on him. I can't wrap myself. Questions deserve answers. And Jesus went around with these five questions and plus one. This is how he lived. Why did he show us this? Why did John articulate this to show you how to live when Jesus left the planet and left you with his Holy Spirit? How many have felt that you've had difficulty knowing what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing in your daily life? Yeah. Well, how many would like to take a step closer to knowing today? Stand to your feet. Come on. I want to invite you to the altar and in just a minute, but I'm going to pray. If you just want to break just... God is so distant from you. You don't understand what he is saying and doing. Even when I was speaking, there was a guard over your mind. Yeah, but. All pastors do this. No, that's a guard. That is a spirit of unbelief. Come on. In Jesus' name, you pray with me. In Jesus' name. You break it off just like I'm going to break it off. In Jesus' name. We prayed this at the beginning of the service. I was talking to people yesterday about this. God is setting us up for this to be old news and for the Holy Spirit to be real news every day. Jesus, we break the spirit of unbelief off. It is unbelief. It is unbelief. It is unbelief to believe that I am alone, I'm disconnected, God is up there or nowhere, and I'm down here. It is unbelief that this is my birthright to live and move and have my being with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit working in me, directing me, empowering me, enlivening me. Stretching me, leading me, telling me to stop, telling me to go. This is for me. This is for now. He is alive today. And I want him. I'm done with that old concept of being a Christian and having my life just covered with so many unanswered questions. Being self-directed, self-determined. That stops today. That stops now. Now, Holy Spirit, would you just open up the gates of heaven? Come out of the shadows, Holy Spirit. Come off the pages, Holy Spirit. Engage your mind, church. The mind who desires to follow the Holy Spirit. Come on. The mind has their mind fixed on what the Holy Spirit desires. You're going to practice Romans chapter 8. What does the Holy Spirit desire? What? Where? Why? When? And how? You're going to desire. There's going to be a growing desire. Why? Because this is what you are created for. This is what's going to change your marriage and your family and Quincy and beyond. It's going to show up in faraway countries because you went for it. You said, this is mine. This is how I'm supposed to live. This is the bullseye. of God's life for me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come and bring the connection. Come and bring the answers. Thank you, Lord. Come on.